When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to TMZ Live, Harvey Levin here.
Charles here, buckle up. Sorry, just a warning. This guy is fired up about Taylor Swift's new album, but not the way you might think, Swifties. So the Tortured Poets Department dropped at midnight.
Now I know why they call it tortured. It's torture. So
a double album, by the way. That was the big surprise.
Big surprise.
31 songs? Something like that? 30 songs.
And mostly about boyfriends and ex-boyfriends and nemesis.
That's not new.
We're going to start by playing you something. I'm sorry. Look, I really admire Taylor Swift, and I think she is an incredible artist, but I got some issues here. So let's play this first cut, because I just think this is her going after her fans.
And this is different, because like you said, all those other things about boyfriends and that we expect. Former relationships, going after her fans.
When she was dating Matty Healy, there were a lot of fans who didn't like it, and they were going after Matty, saying he's not worthy of her. So she decided to go after the fans for doing what they did to Matty.
Here's a little bit of But Daddy, I Love Him.
I should say, I like the tune.
It's actually one of the more upbeat songs on the album.
Yeah, I mean, I like the tune. But here's the thing. Taylor Swift has gone after all these boyfriends in the past, mm-hmm. and the fans have followed suit and joined in the chorus.
Right, they're doing it because they think they're doing it at your behest is how they feel.
So then all of a sudden,
they're protecting you.
And so all of a sudden, they're doing the same thing, and now she's going after them. I'm sorry, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I think she just wants them to not be as involved, maybe.
But they were involved. But she wrote songs so they could be involved. And now all of a sudden they're involved, but she doesn't like that they're involved, even though she wrote a song about Matt Healy that wasn't nice. I don't get it.
It's really strange to be right next to this energy today. I'm just going to tell you.
The difference with Matty, though, is that he had said some derogatory words about Ice Spice. And people felt like Taylor needs to know. She needs to be warned.
Right.
You know, all this stuff. And with the other boyfriends, you know, it was just Taylor saying like, oh, Jake Gyllenhaal still has my scarf or whatever. You know, these are smaller things. But with Matty,
John Mayer, Charlie.
But by the way, she also told fans in the past to back off John Mayer when she re-recorded.
Perhaps,
but yeah, here's the thing. This new song, she also says, judgmental creeps who say they want what's best for me. I mean, I'm so worried about Taylor Swift's fans, the Swifties. Like, what if the Swifties turn on Taylor? Like, that would be insane.
Wait a second, she called the Swifties judgmental creeps.
Judgmental creeps. I don't get it. Okay, we're gonna get into it a little deeper, but there's another cut.
Another more expected. This is more in the vein of what you'd expect from her, but
we would call this a deep cut, but not in the recording sense.
Yes, going after Kim Kardashian, who you know has been her nemesis for quite some time ever since
Kim did her dirty,
and as Taylor said last year, she's never gotten an apology from Kim.
Kim's doubled down and called Taylor a liar.
Right. So maybe not shocking that she took this shot. Doesn't say Kim's name. It is very clearly about Kim and even makes a reference to Kim's daughter.
When I picture my hometown, there's a bronze spray tan statue of you. and a plaque underneath it that threatens to push me down the stairs at our school. And one day your kid comes home singing a song that only us two is gonna know is about you.
Okay, actually it wasn't her daughter, it could be any of her kids, but we should explain the title, Thank You, Amy. That you notice that the only letters that are capitalized are K, I, and M.
Wow. So it's about Kim Kardashian.
That seems, does that seem child, I don't know.
We gotta bring in a Swiftie.
Yes, because obviously we know what your energy is like. How are the Swifties feeling? We are being joined by one of our favorite Swifties, maybe our favorite Swiftie, I think. Brittany Hodak, who's written a book called Creating Superfans. She herself admittedly being one of Taylor Swift. Brittany, welcome back to TMZ Live.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Always fun to visit with you.
Are you mad at my rant?
No, I got to say, though, you're so fired up. I don't always see you this fired up, Harvey. And I get it. I think you guys make some really great points. This is an interesting day to be a Swiftie, I think.
So what do you think about that?
I mean, about the
going after the fans.
You know, I think it is got to be so difficult to live your life as both a person and a brand in real time. And I think, like anything, there are a lot of different factions when we say Swifties. I think Taylor's trying to make it clear here, you know, there are things that I love, there are things that I don't love, maybe back off on some of these things that are happening in real time. And as you guys mentioned, I think it's clear that she loves when people get in on the relationships after the fact when she's written about it. But I think she's saying, all right, we need a little less real-time feedback from the peanut gallery.
Well, Brittany, as I'm looking at the title of your book behind you, you can't, it's like you've created this monster and now you're going to be pissed off when the monster does what monsters do. Like, you created these superfans, the Swifties, and now you're going to be pissed when they're doing that's what they do.
So here is something that has always kind of bothered me. So if you recall, on like her early concert tours, the first couple of tours, Taylor had this introduction that had all of these people saying, like, don't make her mad, she'll write a song about you. Don't make her mad, she'll write a song about you. Tim McGraw actually cameoed in that and said, don't forget, I was the very first victim of a Taylor Swift song. And everybody was like, it was okay when Taylor was in on the joke. And as that narrative that her team created, right? Like, that was the early press thing. Like, she's going to write all these vitriolic songs about the men who do her wrong. Once that kind of got out of control, it was all of a sudden, we take no responsibility for the fact that, like, we started this narrative and now we need everyone to stop because
right.
It's sexist and it's unfair and we don't want to talk about it anymore. And I hadn't thought about that in years. And then when I was hearing the song, I kind of, you know, and then hearing you, Harvey, talk about it, I was like, yeah, this kind of reminds me of that, of almost like what started as this little bonfire in the backyard is now this forest fire. And I want to just be like, nope, we're done. It's over.
Trying to walk away.
And the other thing, Brittany, is that now that she's dating Travis Kelce, she's kind of orchestrating this, not in a bad way, but they're very public. They are showing PDA for all to see, and the fans are joining in saying they approve. Well, she's still opened the door. As long as you approve, it's all, read my mind and tell me that you're thinking what I want you to think, or else I'm going after you too. I mean, that's kind of the way I see it.
I get that. I do. And, you know, I think for a while now, the Swifties had sort of said, it seems like you're dating a loser. Like, do you not have friends close to you to say, like, come on, we think you deserve better. And we hope that you have the self-esteem to know that you should deserve better. And I think that's why everybody, or not everybody, but so many Swifties were so happy when she got with Travis. And what I have seen a lot of people talking about on, you know, Swiftie forums today, and even like texts and DMs from my own friends is, hopefully everything works out with Travis and we get a happy, fun album next.
What do you think of this album?
Yeah, I need some bouncy hits.
What do you think of this one?
So I was laughing earlier. My husband said, Taylor has more variants of this album than COVID, which is true, right?
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
That's I wish hysterical. That was me. All credit to my husband on that one. But totally true, right? And as someone who is so intentional about her music, so intentional about her albums, she's won album of the year 4 times, right? She knows how to structure a body of work, a collection of art, a collection of music. And as much as fans were delighted to get all of the bonus tracks in the middle of the night, to me, it felt a little chaotic. It felt a little less curated of I'm going to create the best amazing album possible that has a through line and a narrative and is a really, really strong contender for album of the year. And more like when somebody does an Instagram dump and it's like, here's all the pictures from the past week or, you know, the past couple of weeks, whatever it is. So to me, it almost felt like I'm going to put all of this out into the world. I'm going to give it all to you. And I hope the other side of that is a new era, right? Is the we're moving forward, maybe getting back to like really fun pop bops that are going to be celebratory and less tortured, more fun.
Yes.
Tell your husband. He's awesome.
He gets the line of the day. What a line.
I will let him know. Thank you.
Okay, Brittany.
All right, thanks, Brittany.
Okay. We are going to drastically change tunes right now.
Right. When we come back, going to Donald Trump's trial in New York, where the action was outside as a fire was set. And on live television, they discovered that fire was a person. A person set himself on fire outside the courthouse. Donald Trump's trial in New York City was the scene of something absolutely horrific. It had nothing to do with what was happening inside the courtroom, which really is just jury selection at this point. But outside the court, there was a man there. We're not sure what his intent was here, but he set himself.
Or whether it was even connected to the trial.
Connected to it, exactly. But a man set himself on fire. And
this is just horrific to watch.
Yeah, you see someone rushing in with a fire extinguisher.
We don't know his condition, at least as of this moment.
He was taken to the hospital.
Right, but he was fully engulfed in flames.
Right.
And it lingered for a little bit because nobody expected to have a fire extinguisher right there, so somebody got one, thank God.
But certainly he was on fire for
a while.
Several.
So a couple things about this. One, there are people there on the ground reporting that it actually took a while for somebody to get to him and put out the fire because there's so many barricades around there in the park because of the high profile trial that's going on. And there were news reporters like MSNBC was doing a live shot. CNN was doing a live shot. All their live shots. Because jury selection had actually just wrapped, actually. They finally picked the jurors. And just as that was happening and they were reporting live on the air, they were like, oh, my God, there's a fire breaking out. Boy, so very dramatic. And to your guys' point about whether, you know, how we don't know what the motivation was here. Was it a protester? I'm not sure. You know, we don't know. But, like, if it was somebody trying to protest Donald Trump or send some kind of message, part of me says, what? Like, how could you possibly even do something like that? And part of me also says it's really not that big of a deal. But by the same token, I say that I don't know what's in these people's hearts. I don't know their convictions. There are political protesters that have done this for years and years.
Right, we've seen it.
Even just a few months ago, there was a U.S. soldier outside the Israeli embassy here in D.C. who did the exact same thing. That man died. And again, the same thing hits me personally, which is like, how could you? It's not that big of a deal. Like, what are you doing? But again, I don't know what's in these people's minds. I don't know what's affecting these people. I don't know what's in their heart or their convictions or anything. So I can't really, I don't want to be too judgmental, but it's shocking. It's very sad.
So the one thing we don't know as of this moment, this will unfold as the day goes. We don't know whether this is at all connected to the trial. Although what you just said is
the timing,
interesting.
The timing. That they had just selected the jury.
And so then all of a sudden this happened.
Coming out of the court.
You got to wonder. Laura Coates from CNN was doing a live shot, as Fabian said, when this happened. And feel the moment as she sees it herself.
What do you say? We also are seeing an active shooter. An active shooter is in the park outside the court. We have a man who is lit. He has set fire to himself. A man has emblazoned himself outside of the courthouse just now. Our cameras are turning right now. A man has now lit himself on fire outside of the courthouse in Manhattan, where we are waiting for history to be made. A full jury panel is gone. We are watching a man who is fully emblazoned in the front of the courthouse today. We are watching multiple fires breaking out around his body and person. We have seen an arm that has been visible, that has been engulfed in total flames. There is chaos that is happening. People are wondering right now, now if people are in danger. I'm looking across the court, across the courtyard. There is a man racing to his aid. There is coats coming off to try to put out the fire. We have members of security details. NYPD is rushing to the scene. They are trying to come out. Officers are on the scene. A fire extinguisher is right now present being put on this man to try to put out. People are climbing over barricades to try to separate the public to put out the flame on this man. He has lit himself out in fire in front of the courthouse right now. We are watching as they're playing. We can smell the air. I can smell the burning of some sort of a flesh. I can smell the burning of some sort of agent being used as well as an accelerant to put that fire. I smell an actual fire extinguisher having been displayed. I see a person whose body appears to be on the ground being surrounded by officers. I have multiple officers. I've counted about a dozen officers on the scene. The fire is still burning. It's now in multiple locations. It continues to blaze. We right now have officers removing their coats, trying to surround this person to envelop their body to prevent them from further going into flames. You can smell, I'm sitting here with Evan Perez, you can smell burning flesh, you can smell an accelerant. The flames are continuing to engulf his person. I hear shouts that are coming from across the courtyard. I have people, multiple people running over, another fire extinguisher being brought out. This person's body continues to be engulfed in flames.
Well, wow. I mean, this is, you could just hear it in her voice, how
interesting that
dramatic this was.
What she must have heard at the beginning of it. Where
because
she
thought it was an active shooter.
Right.
Do you guys think that stream of consciousness type of reporting is good or professional? I thought that was unprofessional and kind of, I didn't like that. I mean, she, you know what I mean? Especially with the first active shooter, that was completely like, what are you talking about? There was no
shooter.
It didn't make any sense.
Having done local news for many, many years.
I mean, you were in the middle of the riots.
The riots, the fires, the earthquakes.
You report what you...
She did a really good job. What she did was she painted a picture of what was going on.
And knowing that they weren't
going
to show it.
That's right.
At a point.
So I thought she did a really, really good job when, again... You're talking about a jury, and you're talking about a trial,
then suddenly
and then you pivot
you are...
to that. I thought she did a great job.
I'm Stan from Salt Lake City, Utah. And, you know, it's kind of hard to make sense of the situation, you know, because you don't, like you guys said, you don't know his intentions one way or the other, whether he was trying to, you know, draw attention away from the situation altogether, or if he was protesting. You know, either way, it's a very bizarre situation, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting as this unfolds to find out
what the motive,
what the connection, if any, was. Yeah. Okay, we're going
to
move on.
Yes, to a DUI for one of the hottest new rappers in the last couple of years. Glorilla got a DUI in Georgia earlier this week, and the police have now released the body cam of the stop and her arrest. It's interesting. A couple of things that are interesting here. This happened in Georgia, middle of the night. It's April. I don't know. What the weather's like
what
there.
What you're getting at is what she's wearing.
She's wearing a bikini during the stop. And yes, she did have that moment that you always dread to see a celebrity have where they do the, do you know who I am?
Were you drinking tonight?
I'm not drunk.
Okay. So I can smell it from my breath. Okay. How many drinks did you have today?
I'm cool. I ain't drunk or nothing.
Not only can I smell alcohol coming from your breath, but I can also smell marijuana coming from this car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, in just a moment, I'll be searching this car. Is there anything that I'm going to find in this car?
I have a gun registered to my name.
A gun? Okay, yeah. Where is the gun at? It's okay, you don't have to reach for it. Where is
it? Yeah, it's in the car.
You don't know who I am.
Okay, well, you're not out.
I know last name Woods. From what I just saw, but that's all.
It's all right, it's all right. But yeah, it's okay. I'll wait on you.
Enlighten me on who you are. You seeing me?
No, because you still going to pick on me. You don't matter who I am.
Pick on you? I'm not picking on you. You're driving and I can smell alcohol off your breath.
But I'm not drunk. I can tell you that.
Wow. Well, it's interesting that she went down that road and then pulled it
and
back
pulled
and never
back.
Said who she was.
Well, because once they don't know who you are, now you, and she was clearly at least had with it enough to realize, ooh, I probably shouldn't have said that, because that backfired, right? That's the problem with saying that.
I thought what the cop did was really interesting to say, what am I going to find when I go in that car? That was a really interesting approach.
Well, as the video goes on, this gets even more interesting because she takes a series of field sobriety tests, doesn't really perform well, and at one point her breast becomes exposed and she doesn't even realize it's happening. So it's really just like a night that Glorilla probably wants to have back and a do-over.
Yeah.
What's up? It's Pajay out of Romulus, Michigan. I just want to say I'm proud of Gorilla for everything that she has done in the industry, just now making her mark. But one thing I want her to do is try to tone it down just a little bit due to all the negativity, everything she's doing now, especially out there in Gwinnett County, because we know they don't play around out there. So I'm proud of her. I want her to keep going, but I just want her to stay away from the negativity a little bit more and focus on making great music.
Yeah. And by the way, shout out to that cop who did a really good job.
Yeah, it's very even keel the whole time.
Okay, we are going to take a break.
All right, when we come back, Kourtney Kardashian celebrating a birthday and her sister posts a photo that a lot of people thought maybe she shouldn't have, especially if you're celebrating Kourtney. We're going to hear Kourtney defend, once again, feel that she must defend her postpartum body. Kourtney Kardashian's 45th birthday celebration took a little turn. Based on one photo that her sister posted. So in the middle of the celebration, Kim, actually everyone in the family posted a bunch of photos of Kourtney, but Kim posted this one from their Turks and Caicos vacation, and someone, one of the fans, decided to comment, "Now you know she's not going to like this photo. LOL, it's her birthday, Kim. LOL." I guess the comment was that that person doesn't think Kourtney looks good in the photo. Kourtney saw that and responded, said, "I love this photo. It's me and my sisters having the best time on a trip with our kids and the memories to last forever. And I love this body that gave me my three big babies and my little baby boy."
You know, the reason I think this thing kind of started to brew was because there was a picture posted right earlier where she's in the water and you only see her from here up.
Right.
And so
but people made a big comment. That's when she made the thing about everyone should just love their bodies postpartum.
Right.
Don't worry about the pressure to bounce back.
So then this picture came out and everybody's thinking, oh, I wonder if Kim just kind of...
Right, went rogue?
Went rogue on Kourtney.
It did kind of seem like she was going rogue because Kourtney has been very, like, vulnerable this time with her bouncing back. Now that she's had a baby in her 40s, it's, like, a lot harder than when you're younger. And so I think she's been very, like, conscious of how she posts herself. And so Kim putting out her belly on display was kind of...
That's so funny. But, like, I look at that photo and I don't see, there's nothing where I'm like,
I know, she looks great. She looks great. And the other thing, Siobhan, is that when you look at the picture, I mean, they're posing.
But I get that.
It's not like this is a candid picture. They're posing for the camera.
Right. She's aware
of the photo being taken. I mean, so. I think that Kim probably did run by her the photos before she posts anything on the internet. They have millions of followers, but it's good. Kourtney looks good. I think it's good that she's feeling comfortable in her body, and I think it's also good that she's realizing now that the expectation to bounce back, especially when you have your baby later, is kind of unattainable and hard.
So, Siobhan, if you think that Kim got permission to post that one, do you think Travis got permission to post this one?
Yeah, this would be a problem for me. We would have some words. That is not, what are you doing?
Yes, Travis did post that one.
But can I say something?
In celebration of her birthday.
That's not taken at their home. That's either
a hotel they're out somewhere.
Or an office or something. So he's going in the bathroom at some restaurant or
whatever. Uh-huh.
What the heck?
It was clearly a joke between the two of them that she probably never intended for, you know, the world to see.
But. And then on her birthday, he made it a joke for everybody.
That's kind of funny, actually. Yeah. It is kind of funny.
Where was the fan defending her on that one?
My name is Anya Kachiamadi, and I'm from LA. And I think that in the year 2024, the fact that Kourtney still has to defend herself and her body to trolls, whether it's online or in person, is terrible. She's a beautiful woman, and she just had her baby, and she should be celebrating the birth and her child and her body. I think that girls that are looking up to Kourtney Kardashian, who are going to grow up to be women, need to see that women are able to have beautiful children or even just have the bodies that they want and be proudly proclaiming, this is my body and this is who I am.
Fair. I just want to say one thing. I think this was really strategic that they planned this whole thing out, that they put the picture up. They put that picture up. They knew somebody was going to comment and Kourtney wanted to say what she said online. Yeah. So I think this whole thing was planned out. We are going
to
move on.
Yes. To Sydney Sweeney and her response to a hater. that would be Carol Baum. We told you earlier this week, the Hollywood producer who said she's not good looking, she doesn't have talent, she can't act. And Carol walked that back and she apologized. So we heard from Sydney's rep, we heard from Sydney's acting coach.
Who didn't do her any favors.
He really didn't. We haven't actually heard from Sydney. Now, this might be her response to Carol.
I think it is a good response. Shiver me timbers.
I don't think that was the caption.
Oh.
Though it could have been.
Well, so these photos were taken last week when she was out with friends doing karaoke, but she decided to post them today, and I think the reason being
well,
is
that's not while she was doing karaoke. I mean, they're out on a boat.
Well, but it's
while she was in Key West, yes.
Right. It's the same outfit, but she was posting these today as a response to the producer, kind of showing, hey, you think I'm not pretty, check out these pics.
How do you argue against that? I mean, she looks, she's...
I don't know, what if you're not into pirates?
She's just...
You know, cosplay isn't for everybody, Harvey.
She is just amazing. I'm sorry. I don't get Carol Baum's comment at all.
Hi, I'm Justice from Arizona, and Sydney Sweeney is a beautiful woman. We all know this. These pictures are giving everything they need to give, the boots. And I just feel like we have to respect her craft. She's a great actress. That producer, she has some issues because Sydney Sweeney is great.
All right.
By the way, love your name, and it gives me reason to say shout out to Raquel, our TMZ alum, who
also
has
a son named Justice.
All right. Okay, we are gonna take a break.
All right, when we come back, brace yourself. We're gonna talk about Taylor Swift because there is a reference, it seems, who can tell with Taylor, a reference to Travis Kelce on the new album. You're gonna hear that, and yes, there is a dig at Joe Alwyn, which we expected on the album, but there's something she did on a different platform that also seems like a dig at Joe. Welcome back to TMZ Live. If you missed the top of the show, the good news is you can see Harvey lose his mind over Taylor Swift once again, because we're going to dip our toes back into her new album, which just came out last night, The Tortured Poets Department.
And it is tortured, man.
It is pretty tortured. Not a lot of really upbeat songs. And as expected, a lot of it is about Joe Alwyn, and not really glowing things about Joe Alwyn. On this particular song we're about to play, it's called So Long, London. It's referring to...
And he's from London, right?
He's from London. It's referring to his... makes a reference to his battles with depression. Certainly makes it sound like he led her on.
That he wasted 6 years of her life.
And wasted her youth.
Yeah.
Here it is. Look, Joe knew this was coming, so I don't imagine he's sitting around listening to this album. I hope he isn't.
I stopped CPR, after all, it's no use. The spirit was gone, we would never come to. And I'm pissed off you let me give you all that youth for free. You swore that you loved me, but where were the clues? I died on the altar, waiting for the proof. You sacrificed us to the gods of your bluest days. And I'm just getting color back into my face.
You know, I think the one thing here, though, is fans were kind of disappointed that the album didn't have more of Joe's stuff. Like, the stuff she said about him wasn't, like, super revealing. I mean, yeah, it's kind of interesting that she says
but it's casting
that she has depression.
But, Charlie, it's casting blame.
Not necessarily.
And also, if he really was battling depression.
Sure it is.
You know, there's one song in there, it's called I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, where she basically talks about, like, her and Joe broke up, he's happy with somebody else, and she has to go on, and the crowd is chanting for more, and she has to do all of this with a broken heart. So it's kind of more of
that's
her
okay.
experience
no,
of,
no,
like,
no,
the fallout of the
that's,
breakup.
That's I don't like okay, the fact that but if, the other one, it's just, it to me, it casts blame. And
especially if you're acknowledging that he was battling depression is what she makes it sound like.
She was. She did.
So why are you attacking him for having depression? Like, I don't know. Seems insensitive. Now, there is, on a happier note, a song that is pretty clearly about Travis Kelce.
Oh, this one's on the nose.
Yeah. It's called The Alchemy, and there are football, very clear football references. Here it is.
There was no chance trying to be the greatest in the league. Where's the trophy? He just comes running over. They flex down, call the amateurs and cut them from the team. It's the clouds, get the crown, baby. I'm the one to be. Cause the sign on your heart said it's still reserved for me. Honestly, who would we to fight the alchemy?
I like that song.
Do you really?
I really do.
Do you really?
Yeah, Yeah, I kind of like
it. Oh,
it's more upbeat.
Are you sure? Can we check the cameras? Were his eyes rolling?
No.
Mine were, I'll admit it. But you didn't have an eye roll at all.
Why didn't you like it? You guys hate love. This is so cute. Obviously, she's talking about Travis. She says things like the winning streak and the league and, you know, things like that and how he kissed her after the big game, which obviously they kissed right after he won the Super Bowl. This is cute. I just hope it stays this way.
This happened. why don't you like it?
I don't know. I hate love. All right.
It was upbeat.
Maybe Charlie's right.
It was upbeat.
That wasn't upbeat. If that's the most upbeat song on the album.
Help me out with one thing. What did she mean?
I mean it's more upbeat.
What did she mean cut the amateurs from the team?
I think it's just worked in the rhyming pattern. I don't know. I don't know what she means.
I'm Erica from Texas. I love the song that's supposed to be about Travis Kelce. I think we all really enjoy watching the fairy tale unfold. And I really think that it's giving people hope in true love.
But we'll move on. There's one thing to write the songs about Joe, and that's your, I get it. But there's a shot she kind of took at him on social media, which I don't think this is going beyond. Like, so obviously there are Swifties posting all about the album. And one of the memes that someone put up said, every time we get a new lyric, the Hunger Games canon goes off with the image of Joe Alwyn in the sky.
Remember, Hunger Games, that he dies, basically.
Right. And
she
liked it. Now, maybe she didn't like it. Maybe it's someone on her team come on.
Yeah.
That's a step too far.
And it gets back to, they're all fair game when I break up with him, but you can't comment when I'm with him unless you like him.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very Will Smith.
The conversations that must be happening with Travis,
right?
Travis has got to be in the corner going.
Little thought bubbles coming up.
All right, moving on to happier love.
Loves
for Neo, who is dipping his toe into polygamy.
No, it's not
polygamy yet because he's not.
He's not married.
He's not married, and in fact, we talked to him. He has. Two girlfriends.
It's a throuple.
And they were out at the Grove. We talked to him about the possibility of getting married if it were legalized, which I know there are people who are talking about it. Do we think that's going to happen?
I don't know why it shouldn't.
I guess if
you're allowing people to live their lives without judgment,
right?
Why not? If everybody's consenting.
Everyone's consenting.
Why not?
Everyone's of age, sure. Why not? Well, here's what Neo thinks about it.
As an advocate of dating multiple women at once, being married before, what are your thoughts on legalizing polygamy?
Legalizing polygamy? I don't know. It's legal. I feel like in the realm of love and romance, you should let people do whatever the hell they want to do.
Do you think it should be legalized?
Sure. Why not?
Would you fight in D.C.? With the lawmakers?
No. Because to be honest, I don't need the government to tell me what it is I can and can't do.
Yeah.
It's my personal life.
Can I ask your girls, would you want to get married with two women and Neo? Something you'd be open to?
Look, Neo's coming fresh out of a marriage. You know, like, he's a ladies' man and, like, we have new relationships in 2024. Like, this is part of the course for America.
Yeah, I mean, listen. It works for him. You know what I noticed as I'm watching it is he can never actually carry anything. He's got to hold both hands.
Yeah.
He's got both hands full.
Well, he's got deep pockets. He's an R&B star. He's got plenty of platinum records. He's good.
That's it. I don't get that. All the pearl clutching over this stuff. Let people live their lives the way they want to.
Indeed.
Okay, taking a break.
All right, when we come back, Travis Scott speaking out about the Grammys. We've heard a lot of artists teeing off on the Grammys. They don't care about them. Travis has a different viewpoint. You can hear him explain why a Grammy really, really matters to him.
I got to tell you, as I said, the special airs on Tuesday night on Fox at 8 o'clock, 7 Central. And sitting down with these two guys, for me, was a dream. It was a dream. They influenced my life. And just the risk-taking so influenced my life. And to listen to the two of them talk about this incredible, intense rivalry,
right,
where they tried to really torpedo each other's career in a way, and how they became such good friends. And it's just very candid. It was one of my favorite things I've ever done.
And it shows.
Okay, we're gonna now talk about business.
Yes, big business in the music world for Travis Scott, because we've heard a lot of people in hip hop say that the Grammys don't matter anymore, they're irrelevant, and they never really understood hip hop. And that people have dismissed the Grammys, like they just don't care. Some people have even boycotted it.
Which, Travis by the Scott, way, there's some.
There's definitely some merit to that. Yeah. Well, Travis Scott seems to be looking past all that. He was on The Shop and explained why a Grammy actually does matter to him, at least one.
A lot of my peers, everyone's like, oh, you know, that award, that I with it. You know what I mean? You play football to win the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? You play basketball to win championships. You know, I don't make music to win Grammys, but, you know, it's what that Grammy, like, used to mean is what I always hold on to. It's like the idea of music. So, you know, that award is just like, at one point it's held up to, you know, a higher statue. And I still believe in it in a sense. You know, it gets rough at times, but, you know. But
I think it's really interesting that he said what it used to mean. Well, right. it doesn't mean that anymore to a lot of people.
It doesn't, but I guess he's thinking about growing up and watching it and
because that's,
what it meant.
He didn't know what the industry was. And in so many ways, the Grammys are a popularity contest with people who are
just the people who are voting.
And people who are voting who are in this narrow lane, and music is here,
and the problem,
and the lane is here.
Right. The problem has been that the people who are voting don't necessarily represent the general public.
I think we can all agree that in large part, getting a Grammy does not really matter. It's so subjective. But when you look at Travis Scott's case, he's been nominated for a Grammy 10 times and still hasn't gotten one. So I'm sure when he's comparing himself to his contemporaries and people that he looks up to, they all have Grammys except him. So I'm sure it means a lot to him because he feels like that's the missing piece for him to be in the conversation among the best.
There's an old expression that somebody is an artistic but not commercial success. If you had the choice of choosing between artistic and commercial, I think a lot of people would choose commercial. I mean, that you want the fans to like what
right.
you do. And that's the
You want mass
win.
Appeal.
That's the win.
Right. You want appeal to the masses, not to
some group that's,
the group
voting,
that's voting
on whether
not
you're
the
Mr.
voting
popularity
classes.
Or not. That's right.
Eric from San Francisco. It's a popularity contest, but I understand it in his case. In fact, it might light a fire under his butt to keep going. And we might see him on a lot more pop records this year trying to get that Grammy. Like, he might do collabs with Michael Bublé at this point.
Or Taylor Swift. or Taylor Swift.
Or Taylor Swift.
A Michael Bublé,
Michael,
Travis Scott.
Can I tell you?
That's a collab.
That is an interesting collab, actually. Mm. That's actually, that could happen. That's an interesting collab.
Interesting.
That's a good idea.
I don't know.
I'm going to call Mr. Anka on this. Okay.
All right. When we come back, I can't believe this is happening. Suri Cruz celebrating
holy
adulthood.
Smokes.
How did this happen?
18.
When did we get that? What?
We're a year older.
I literally remember
we're a year older
when
than,
she was born.
Than Suri.
I literally remember the day. We'll show you how she celebrated. I always said I wanted to be out of this business before Suri Cruz turned 18. I remember the day she was born. It was like a big celebration that Tom and Katie had.
It was a big deal.
Had their first child together, and we thought it was going to be the first of many. Of course, it didn't work out that way. But Suri is now 18. Celebrated her 18th yesterday. She's in New York City. Rainy, cold day, but
shocking.
She was out with a friend, strolling around. Tom, not around for the birthday celebration. Not that anybody expected. He was in London.
As far as I know, they have not seen
the
each
last
other
time
since
that
the
we
divorce.
Know was, yeah, exactly, when she was six.
Yeah, it was around 2012 was the last time they were seen together, known to be hanging out together. At the end of the day, we don't know if they see each other in private. I mean, we don't often get pictures of Tom Cruise out.
I actually spoke to his lawyer, who has since passed, about 5 years ago.
Right.
And there was, what I was told, was no relationship.
Yeah, I mean, the reason
and
I
a lot
say
has
it's
to
not
do with Scientology. Hey, Brendan, I got good news for you.
What's going on?
So the TMZ is 1 year older than Suri. I was going to say, so at least in certain states, you can now drink. How's that, Brendan?
Well,
we're 19.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, they should. Yeah.
Brendan, don't try to figure it out. He's like, wait, what? Brendan's like, I've been drinking.
I'm gonna be totally honest. I'm
so many, many
confused.
Years.
I'm not good with numbers and math or any of that. That's why I work here.
Don't worry
and not
about
at a
it,
bank.
Brendan.
Do we want to grab a drink after work and celebrate Suri Cruz?
Not a bad idea.
Because I'm down.
Yeah,
I might be down for that.
If Harvey pays, I'm.
What else you guys want to talk about?
Hi, I'm Katie Vaughn from Memphis, Tennessee, and I want to talk about Swiftie Day. Happy album drop to all my fellow Swifties. This album is really interesting, and I like that Taylor's actually kind of throwing some shade at her Swiftie friends on her Daddy song about her Matt Healy relationship. So I'm kind of curious to see how the other people are going to react online, how her fans are going to take this little diss.
But you're taking yourself out of the class. You admitted you are one of them. So how are you taking it?
Did you go after Joe? Did you go after?
How are you taking it?
Yeah, did you go after Maddie
when she was dating Matt?
When she was dating him?
I was not. Like, he was a bad fit for her. Like, and then all the Nazi stuff. I mean, it just wasn't a good look. I think everyone is happy that she moved on, and now she's doing her new American Camelot with her cute little ball player. So. Mm-hmm.
American Camelot.
Okay, wow. One more.
Hey guys, it's Jocelyn Medard in Toronto. I want to talk about Kourtney Kardashian. Good for her for fighting back in the comment section and not letting a stranger on the internet decide how she feels about her body in that picture. To me, I think body shaming comment says more about the person who wrote it. Plus, Kourtney looks incredible. So,
speaking of Kourtney, can I just make a reference here? I'm so scared to say anything right now. You look like Courtney Cox to me. You
what?
Do. Yeah. You look like Courtney Cox. Nobody said it that ever?
Honestly, no. No.
You see it?
You know that happens every time you say to one of our viewers, you look like so-and-so, and they always go, no one ever said that.
But do you see?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
We're taking a break. Sorry about, I mean, I don't want to say. We're taking a break.
You really shouldn't have said
anything. Shut up. I'm just gonna
shut when
up.
We come back, Barry Keoghan. Celebrating with his girlfriend, Sabrina Carpenter, in the happiest place on Earth, maybe? I don't know that it is, but I'll say this. They found the happiest place in the happiest place on Earth. Barry Keoghan and Sabrina Carpenter proving everyone in this office wrong. Just a couple days ago, everyone was saying like, oh, adults don't go to Disneyland without kids.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do, in droves. and Barry and Sabrina were there just by themselves, no kids, having a little fun day at the park. They were in the California Adventure side where you can drink. And they found cafe there where they serve wine.
You can't walk around with alcohol there, can you?
You can in the California Adventure side.
Right, but you can't like go on a ride with
you can't go cross over to Disney.
You can't go on like Dumbo and do this until you vomit.
No. Now, you can drink all you want on the California Adventure side, then go over to Disneyland and get on the Dumbo ride.
What if somebody...
I don't think they're
checking. If somebody takes a drink on Space Mountain and they hurl and it goes in the... Oh, God.
They really should do breathalyzers before you get on that thing.
It's really true. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday.